Hello and welcome to NYPD Blue Balls. This is a commentary episode of NYPD Blue Balls, so that means we are watching Season 7, Episode 15, Stress for Success, while recording Season 7, Episode 15 of NYPD Blue Balls. So if you want to watch the episode along with us, we count down at the very beginning to let you know we have started it. You can catch the episode on Amazon or Hulu. They have every single episode of the best show ever, NYPD Blue, available for you if you want to pay their fees. Thank you so much for listening. If you have a moment and you enjoy the show, please rate and review it on whatever you're using to listen to it. That's how we get seen in the algorithm, and then hopefully more people start listening to NYPD Blue Balls, but more importantly, start watching the best show ever, NYPD Blue. If you don't like the show, it's perfectly fine for you to leave a negative review and comment. However, I must let you know that we're probably not going to listen to it or make any changes to the show based on it. Have a good one, enjoy the episode if you listen, and peace! 1, 2, 3, press. Hello, everybody. We're watching NYPD Blue, Season 7, Episode 15, Stressed for Success. Which is a play on Dressed for Success.
But who's stressed, Kirk? Who's stressed?
Well, we're going to find out, but a lot of characters are, and this morning, Danny Sorensen's a little stressed because his boy, JB, was supposed to be spending the night to kick his habit to, I believe, heroin? I think heroin is his drug of choice.
Did we really think he was going to kick his habit on one night?
Well, Danny's not too smart. I just think that he wanted to get through an entire day thinking that he'd be in better mindset to get help, but as we can see, JB jumped out the window.
Called him a... He called him a skinny little jerk.
I also love how, like, he's getting dressed to go look for him or get to work, I'm not 100% sure, and he's taking it out on her, where he's like, thanks for the news flash. It's like, when you figure out what you're doing, leave me a note. And then she insults him with, like, a fucking fourth grade insult.
Read between the lines, bro.
Which is like, hey, you're both adults.
Read between the lines.
Read between the lines. anyway, this is NYPD Blue Balls, where I, Kirk, and the other voice, Kyle, talk about every single episode of the best show ever, NYPD Blue. And as mentioned, this is Season 7, Episode 15, Stressed for Success.
It was a quick opening, too.
Yeah, very, very quick. Very quick opening. But yeah, I just marveled at, like, this is supposed to be a relationship between two adults, and he's obviously stressed because JB's gone, and she's like, you know what? You're a butthead.
Hey, you know, we'll wait till the end. I think I've cracked the code.
You're an ass face.
Me?
No, like, that's an insult she would say. I know that's
she
an insult.
She would not. No, she'd probably be meaner than that. She's, like, Italian from New York.
I don't know, she did the read between the lines bit, which is, you know, weird.
Well, I mean, for TV, at the time, it probably wasn't. I bet you at the time our mom was like, oh my god, like, they put up a middle finger.
It's an implied middle finger.
Yeah, but they never implied it before.
So, did you think you had seen this woman before?
No. But I didn't mind.
And you know who doesn't mind? Medavoy, who is making his intentions clear the entire episode.
So, yeah, 100%.
Also, I mean, no offense to Medavoy, except all offense. This woman comes in saying, I'm pretty sure I bought stolen property, and Medavoy's like, okay, that's great, that's awesome. We'll look into that for you, and you know, we'll keep you apprised, and if you want to give me your number, and if I could, like, curl up next to your body... Meanwhile, he's standing next to Jones. It's like...
Yeah, I know. And she looks the way she does. And, yeah. Like, you know, like... But hey, man, you gotta... You know, you miss 100% of the shots you don't take, Kurt.
Yeah, and that nobody embodies that quote quite like Medavoy. When it comes to jokes, hitting on women out of his league. However, he takes zero shots at being a father. Ka-ka!
Well, you can't miss if you don't try. You can't be a shitty dad if you don't give it a shot.
Oh, man.
I'm just saying, right? Like, this TV show is set and it's supposed to, like, follow their lives. You think he would say his daughter's name once?
He does. He does talk about his daughters and his wife. It's just so incredibly rare. Like, it, you hardly
notice.
And his wife
is always, and his wife is, it's always negative.
Yeah.
And then John's like straight for 2 seconds.
Well, I don't know if he's straight. I just think he's, you know, fashionable.
You wanna beat it long, long? You wanna beat it long, long?
You and a beaded something French.
You and a oh.
You and a wee wee. And we lost.
Oh, no, no.
And we lost the two potential French listeners.
We lost them a long time ago. They're protesting. So.
And you know what I say? I say they can escar go ahead.
Fucking hate you for that one.
So this is what I like to call passive aggressive morning with Sipowicz.
Oh my god, this is so like he used to do this shit with Bobby sometimes,
mm-hmm.
like with the birds and shit, stopping and letting the pigeons out, letting them fly, and yeah.
I love how this back and forth of them being pissed at each other because they disagree about helping JB includes the phrase "feed your fish."
Well, he got up to feed his fish like a little bitch.
And of course, here we have famous face Yasiim Bey, formerly Mos Def, famous for "Be Kind, Rewind," "Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy."
I've seen that one.
What else? Italian Job.
He was
in a couple episodes of Dexter. And I guess he was also in Talladega Nights. I did not know that.
I forgot that. What?
According to his IMDb, he was in it. But he plays Leslie Peach, he's really good as this character. Kind of like a druggy informant. And he just comes in to let Danny know that JB OD'd at a shooting gallery somewhere. And he could be in the hospital.
Go ahead, sorry. Hey, this is actually a... I think Mos Def acts really well in this scene.
Yeah.
Danny Sorensen sucks, but Mos Def is pretty good in it.
Mos Def is...
I mean, compared to what Ricky Schroeder has done... This performance isn't that bad, but Mos Def definitely is the reason why it's good.
Because Mos Def is like doing a great job of like he doesn't want to tell him exactly, but he knows he has to tell him that JB is OD'd, and he also is using this as an opportunity to take a bunch of food and coffee.
When Schroeder shows up, does Sipowicz remark about his clothes?
No. I don't think so. You're talking about... what's his name? Leslie Peach's clothes? Or Sorensen?
No, Schroeder's clothes. Doesn't he say you wore that yesterday?
Oh, not in this episode. I think it was an episode before. I enjoy...
His hand motion. I envision Dad doing some shit like that.
The kind of wave off.
Yeah.
Okay. So, quick question. Did you think that both cases were related, that this woman stole the dresses?
When I first watched it, I was about to think it was, yes.
Because that's what I thought happened. And then rewatching it, like, the last two times, I was like, oh, no, it's not related at all.
No, we just... For some, like... We need... Well, it's Laughlin, like...
Anytime Laughlin shows up, we kind of just wish he wasn't here.
Do you think... No, no, like, 100%. Do you think, like, maybe for the creators, Laughlin is just, like... the character that's supposed to represent, like, all bad cops?
Kinda.
Or cops that, like, do the wrong things as cops? Foreshadowing?
Yeah. Because every time he shows up, he's being an asshole.
Yeah.
So, he knows this woman. Apparently, she's a serial shoplifter, which she's being sent out by... She's being sent out by her husband, who may or may not have a drinking problem, according to Laughlin.
Hearsay.
And Laughlin is really gumming up the works by being an asshole every time anyone talks. But okay. I did want to mention this woman, named Hendon Walsh, or Walsh. I didn't recognize her. But I figured, I was like, with her voice, she's got to do voice work. And she happens to do voice work. She does a lot of work for Adventure Time. A lot of Teen Titans and some Batman characters. But what's crazy is, she played Debbie in the movie Groundhog Day, which I watched recently for Groundhog Day.
I've never seen Groundhog Day.
It's a good movie, you should see it.
I remember for some reason, like, wanting to watch it when I was younger, and I think either mom or dad being like, oh, that movie was dumb. And so I was like, oh, well, I trust their taste. I'm gonna make decisions based on what they like, you know?
Yeah.
And so I've never seen it.
I got it in a double feature with Stripes, and it's pretty good. I recommend it.
Better than Stripes?
In some ways, yeah, because so, I think Stripes is too long.
I laughed out loud at this scene.
So this is one of three different dialogue missing montages. Less. In this one episode, and it's basically just Danny finding JB's burnt up body, which I did like the detail of his hand when they show the shadow of his hand. I did like that. I think that was pretty dope.
I really enjoyed the detail of, like, him trying to cry so hard.
Well, yeah, I would describe it as, like, he's got 12-year-old shit-his-pants face.
Like, that's actually pretty good. That's actually, like, pretty funny.
He looks like a kid that is too old to shit his pants, but has, in fact, pooped his pants.
By pooping his pants.
Yeah, he turned into an Italian that pooped his pants. He turned into Mario, even though he's no Chris Pine. Oh, Pratt. Damn it. Fuck the joke.
Yeah, Chris Pine would never.
Never. So this woman is Mrs. Morris, but or Mrs. Morris.
This has to be a good sign. Like, we will only take Chris Pratt's voice now. So that means soon, he won't be in every fucking movie.
Well, Guardians is ending, and... I think everyone's going to celebrate everybody else in the Mario movie except for him. So yeah, I think his star is fading a little bit.
Yeah, those last Jurassic Park sucked.
Yeah, I didn't watch them.
This woman does a really good job.
Oh yeah.
I don't know if she's supposed to be like this, but she does a good job doing whatever this is.
Yeah, she's playing, like, a very mousy, but very, like, mousy and anxious woman. We find out why in her next scene. after this one. But she's basically...
I still think she would be a little quirky.
Oh, yeah. I think she's got a little stress on top of quirk. So that just highlights the stress. It's kind of like when Sipowicz turns into a raging asshole because he's stressed.
Well, that doesn't happen too often.
Also, Metavoy says, trust the process. Guess he's a 76ers fan.
I'm shocked that you know that.
Kyle, I keep up with sports, okay? Like, I know who's in the Super Bowl this year.
I'm shocked that you came with those trust the process reference. Do you know the GM?
No.
Oh, okay.
I know that Doc Rivers is the coach.
Well, not during that time, but...
Currently?
The process is over, like... the guy who had that saying was Sam. I think it was Sam Hinkie. He was the guy who was doing all the tanking and shit. And so the process is over. Like, they got Embiid. That guy's been gone now.
I just love the idea. I love the idea that that's just their new phrase. The process is over. Not successful. Let's just say we have been processed.
Sorry, she's actually really good, and I just talked over her. So,
it's true.
I mean, welcome to America, sweetheart. This guy's pretty good too.
This guy's all right. I don't know. I don't like him as much as some other of the guest stars.
He looks pretty stressed.
This is another guy where I thought he looked kind of familiar, and I was just wrong. He's only been in a handful of things. His name's Daniel Blinkoff, and apparently he's in that early Brendan Fraser movie with Honors.
Honors. Oh, I remember that one.
His character has a name, so he must have done something in it.
Going to ask you a question. Oh, the first woman in the beginning, what if she is in anything else? What?
So is your first language English or?
She said, no, sorry, I just had a stroke, but I'm back. Was she in anything else?
You're talking about the mousy woman that we talked over?
No. The first girl.
Oh, no. The
really attractive one that Metaboy's hitting on.
No, she's not really in a lot of stuff, but she was on One Life to Live for 4 years, if you were into...
Not at all. Not into One Life, sorry.
She was in a single episode of Hercules.
did she get that Kevin Sorbo?
She got Sorbo'd. She had sore bows after giving him a hand job because he loves Jesus. She's in an episode of The X-Files and Nowhere Man, and that's about it for Karen. Karen Lore. But yeah, this guy...
This guy's got creep up written all over him. I can't believe... This proves right here that Jill has no idea how to, tell who's a creep and who isn't.
Well, no. Jill's entire point of this whole story is, she has to just keep this family together long enough for the woman to, wisen up and get the hell out of there. It's not going to happen if they, beat on the guy, because then he's just going to beat on her or the kids.
No, I know, but, at the same time, do we really think anything's going to get better?
No, but she thinks, she even says it. There's a conversation where she's like, the sliver of hope is that she lives long enough with those kids to try and go for something better. Here, Sipowicz is upset that Danny is just not at work.
So, he goes to see his boo.
And lets her know that JB died, and his body was burnt up.
Why does he keep saying that, Skell JB?
Because that's how she refers to him. That's how everybody refers to it, but him, usually.
Yeah, but, again, what did you do to help him not be that?
Kyle, you know, he didn't get him the doo-wop time, so he's indebted to him forever.
Nah, it's more than the doo-wop thing, dude. Like,
it's more than the doo-wop.
It's more than the doo-doo-doo-wop.
Is that Kendrick's new album?
He used him for information and then just like just stopped talking to him.
Well, he gives her the information and then she's kind of like, well, you know, druggies die. And then he's like, well, then fuck you then. I'm trying to give you some heartfelt feelings and you just told me, yeah, well, druggies die.
I mean, she's not wrong.
And then he comes down to see if he can get sympathy from his coworkers, and Sipowicz is just ready to scowl.
Well, I mean,
they should call him Scalowitz.
He's not a fan of the scallops, though.
Oh, man. That's two puns. I got two puns in.
Did you write these down or something?
No, I didn't. I'm just that good.
Did you hire Pierce Hawthorne's writing team?
And you say it's a good day to be gay.
He likes gay stuff.
What? We write great jokes. God damn it, community. We're going to have to start doing this show for community. Damn it. I'm just kidding.
So, we're like two episodes away where we could literally fast forward.
I mean, no offense to NYPD Blue or this episode specifically, but we have not talked about the episode itself very much.
He's crying now. This is where, like...
where he thought he was going to get his Emmy.
Yeah, he really thought he was going to get his Emmy on this one.
He's like, Jimmy Smith's got an Emmy, Sipowicz got an Emmy, Dennis Franz, they got an Emmy, the show gets Emmys, I'll get an Emmy, all I gotta do is cry. Even though he looks like a 12-year-old that's crying because Russell brought him new pants.
And is this the most awkward way to hug somebody?
Yeah. Also, like, it's like oddly charged, but also like sad and motherly because he looks so young. It's just weird. It's weird, and I don't like it.
So this woman, not the mousy one that's like scared, the other one who got the dresses and is now like trying to do the right thing. She is dressed like every girl, every like young girl now is dressed.
Hold, I need to get a
like that jacket, those jeans, that top, like that is like the fashion, like that girls are like wearing now.
Yeah, I see it. I see it. I see what you're saying.
Kirk, you don't go outside. You wouldn't know.
Okay. Well, hey, hold on. What's that? Knock, knock. Fuck you. Okay. All right. I do go outside knock, occasionally.
Knock, knock. Fuck you.
You're supposed to say, "Who's there?" Knock, knock. My fist up your balls. who's there?
Oh, that's funny. That's funny. Real funny.
You're funny, man. You took all the winter doodles. Oh, God damn it! We can't do this. I can do that entire episode.
Is the woman? I can't stop saying that. Is the woman who got the dresses, not the one who's looking for them, the one who's like, mm-hmm. hey, I have these dresses. Is her upper lip fake?
Yes. 100%.
Okay.
Her upper lip is stuffed like an overstuffed Oreo.
Wow, rude. Just commenting on women's bodies like that now. Okay.
I didn't want to be that guy. We've had several opportunities to talk about the mousy woman, who in theory is doing a better acting performance, and we haven't.
Yeah, that's true.
But we find out that the woman who's looking for the dresses, her mother died 2 weeks ago, and the woman who had the dresses waited 3 weeks to bring them in. And she starts to feel bad, like, oh my god, did I cause your mother to die? Also, the mousy woman, who is Miss Maurice, is played by Jenny Blong. I didn't recognize her or anything, but I looked up her IMDb anyway. She was in a single episode of Lost.
Oh, which one?
The mousy woman.
Oh, I don't remember. Don't remember her at all.
Mrs. Maurice. Or Morris, even though it's spelled like Maurice. Medavoy brings that up, and then she's like, is this going to be a game show? So Sipowicz was like, is he going to come out of there? No one's going to judge him. And then the second they start talking, he immediately judges him. Or gives him a hard time. This is also the only mention that Fancy isn't around, and he's not in this episode at all.
Yeah, I think I mentioned a couple episodes earlier. He's not around. Like, they just talk about him, but he's not in it.
Sipowicz gets a little pissy because Danny says he's going to go get his load on. And Sipowicz is like, well, if you're drinking, then you're going to lose everything. And it's like, no, if you drink, you're going to lose everything because you're an alcoholic.
But, I don't know. Like, I don't think, I don't know.
What don't you think? Talk it out, Kyle. We got nothing but time. We got two more montages to hit, I think. But Sipowicz is literally like, don't get your load on. You're going to lose all your real friends because all you care about is druggies. You should be seeing the lovely girl upstairs. And then he's like, fuck off, and just leaves.
Which, I mean, like, Sipowicz isn't wrong, but then at the same time, like, I don't know, like, he's going through something. Like, can you recognize that? Can you see that he's, like, feeling a certain way? I don't know. Like, I know Sipowicz is worried because he used to, his first response was to be to drink, you know what I mean? But, like, you can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can't be a hypocrite and, like, tell somebody, like, all you can do is offer your advice, but you can't scream and yell at them. You know what I mean?
Like, I feel like when you're like, I'm going to go get my load on, he should have been like, do you want company?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, and
not,
like...
Not like, what and, the fuck?
And yeah, and be a friend, there.
Mm-hmm.
And then, and like, just let them know and kind of be like, hey, like, are you okay? Like, I know you, like, I'm sorry this happened to you, your friend, blah, blah, blah. You know, just, but don't start screaming at him. Like, that's the last thing he wants is to be yelled at. About whether it's like, that's the other thing is like, Sipowicz's whole thing is like, oh, he's a skull, he's a junkie, and it's like, oh, well, to you he is, to what's his name, sorry, excuse me, to Schroeder, he's not.
And like, this is right after he had a conversation with Russell where they were like, he told me a dream about his sisters being burnt up. And then Russell's like, yeah, that's what he was crying about in there. And the second he comes out, he's like, are you drinking, you piece of shit?
Yeah.
Like, he was like, hey, man, didn't you just have a moment talking about, like, why he might be a little bit, like, scarred by what happened?
Yeah.
And then he even gives a look to Russell like, I fucked up, I'm sorry. But we just skipped over a conversation between Russell and Kirkendall that's just them going over the shit they've done so far in the episode. And Kirkendall mentioning that she has two kids. And we move right in to a dialogue missing montage of, you know, couple of the year picking up their kids.
Yeah.
Where Kirkendall literally has to, like, take a child and shove it into the father's arms.
Because, yeah, the dad, like, won't talk to him.
He's
like, it's really weird. Like, he's holding that kid. Sorry, go ahead. You're probably going to say the same thing. He's holding that kid like he's never held it before.
He's holding a child like it's groceries in a bag that's going to break. Like, so how does this work? Where's the off switch? That sounds like he wants to kill his kids. That's not what I mean.
Wow.
I thought, I was saying it like he doesn't know how they work, as if it was a piece of technology. So this scene feels incredibly useless. It's just Kirkendall going to Laughlin, basically saying, like, hey, I think we were coming at this problem from two different sides. And I think my side keeps those kids out of the system and maybe leads to her getting a better life. And then he's like, yeah, well, I grew up in a drunk home and you're a piece of shit. Basically.
Yeah. And he's like, I mean, in his defense, he is saying, like, hey, I know that world. I know what's like, I know, like, what can happen. Like, I know what, like, it's like, what, like, those kids could also go through. Like, there's also two sides. Like,
but what's,
I kind of get it.
But what's weird is he doesn't say it like that. He says it like, are you sure you're not just saying that you're no better than me? Do you think you're no better than me? Like, he's like really, like, immediately so reactionary. And it's like, hey, Laughlin, you were just doing paperwork. Like, we're not shooting at people. We're having a conversation. How about you relax? Maybe cut down on the coffee. Get yourself some, you know, decaf.
Oh, yeah, he does come in hot. You are right.
He's so hot. Speaking of hot, this lady. Bow. So basically, this woman. What I love about this scene. This woman is clearly, like, sad. Because she's thinking, like, maybe she led to this mother dying. And Medavoy is just like, how long can I keep her here and stare at her?
Yeah, I know. He does start asking her, like, really weird questions. Like, he doesn't really need to.
And he misinterprets her being sad to being like, oh, I'm sorry you didn't get more money. And she's like, no, I feel partially responsible for a woman's death. And he's like, oh, wow, that sucks. You're so pretty. Because she's having, like kind of a philosophical revelation, like, oh, you live other people's lives in the secondhand clothing business, and I just experienced the pain of another woman. And he's like, yeah, do you like Italian food and short men? Like, it's so fucking it's so fucking shitty. And then she'd be like, sir, I'm not interested. He's like, I'll have you know, I was dating the most attractive woman early seasons.
In the squad.
Like, I was pulling Abadondo numbers back in the day. So don't talk shit. And I was still with my wife.
Oh, here it comes. Is this montage two or three?
Third dialogue-less montage.
This is the third, for sure.
And this is just... I know, what sucks is this definitely had dialogue, and they were like, it's so shitty, fuck it. Because you could see them talking to each other.
Oh, no, they definitely... Lachlan wasn't trusted to, like, lead his own scene yet. Yeah, yeah, not yet.
And it was short as fuck. Like, they sped it up.
Yeah.
So that means they had two dialogue... no dialogue montages, and then they looked at his scene, they're like, God, we're gonna have to go for three. Oh my god. That's really gonna slow the pace of this episode. Like, yeah, but we can't have a scene where he's just talking by himself.
Oh yeah, no way. Like, he has to build up that trust. Like,
oh man.
And he lost that trust a long time ago, because he first started out as the partner of the girl that Danny was with, and now,
I don't think we're talking about the same thing, but that's fine. Are you talking about this scene where they talk to each other at the bar?
No, I'm just talking about Laughlin, period. Laughlin as a character, period. Like, he had his shot early on when Danny's girlfriend was in a uniform, and he hadn't been around for a while.
Yeah, yeah. So we have this great meeting of the minds.
This scene is weird. I've watched this episode a lot. I don't understand the tone.
I don't either. Well, it's because, and you know, I don't want to offend the guy who plays Laughlin, but Ricky Schroeder can go fuck himself. Like, it might just be that they're not good actors. like... The scene is supposed to be two guys had rough days, they're at the bar to drink, and then because they're so amped up, they start to fight, but then one of them's like, hey, we're dudes! You know, we do this kind of shit. We get angry, well, we hit each other, we shoot people, and then we drink.
For me, what was weird is that, like... Is, like... I'm sorry, he's just... I just, like, as I pause to say something... He says, with the serious rack.
Yeah, that's right. He sexually harasses Jill Kirkendall. Basically says, like, that uppity bitch thinks she knows better. Putting those two back together. And then Danny's like, well, what's the alternative? And he's like, the alternative is beating that guy and letting him know that he's got to be a better guy. And then Danny's like, won't that just lead him to possibly taking it out on his wife and kids?
Yeah,
it's almost like Laughlin doesn't think about the consequences to simple actions.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Yeah, it's, I just don't, the whole scene is baffling because they go from, like, being cool, like, they go from hating each other to, like, kind of bonding to then being, like, not cool.
And then...
Because he starts talking about Jill in a weird way, and then Jill shows up.
Let's Laughlin know that the woman died, because after he harassed the dude, he went home and killed her. So now the kids are in the system, and the dad's going to jail, and the woman's dead. And she says what anyone should say, which is, nice job. And then he's like, I wish you were a man, basically threatening physical violence. And then she's like, I wish I was a man too, so I could fucking kill you.
Yeah.
And then she's like, quit being a bitch and leave your shit at home. And then he's like, I'm gonna hit you anyway. And it's like, okay, well, we've crossed lines. Now he's threatened a woman, physically. And I like to call this scene the meeting of both my short hairstyles. Because basically this is what my hair looks like whenever it's short. Oh, shit. And it's just them going like, you good? Yeah. You good? Yeah. And then she leaves.
But he's not cut.
No, he's going to stay there and drink by himself. And, yeah, this is a weird episode. I mean, we could talk about it after the, or at the credits and whatever, but I don't know. Like, the montages, the pacing, and then it just ends with Schroeder showing up to Russell's apartment and sleeping on her couch because he's too fucked up. Which makes me wonder, like, how far away is his place?
Yeah. Well, my...
Also, is he good at acting drunk? I say no.
But are we, do we have rose-colored glasses?
What do you mean?
Like, because we don't like him.
Oh. Well, because, like, I went back and forth on whether or not his drunk acting is good. Because, like, there are different types of drunks, and one of them is the type of drunk where they really don't change that much. They just, it just gets harder for them in terms of, like, their motor function. So it's like, maybe he's one of those guys, but it's like, also, he's, it seems like he's trying and failing at it. Like, that classic...
Yeah, a little bit.
Like, that classic episode of Community, where Abed and Jeff have to drink together. That's good drunk acting. Not really, but... Scorsese drank with De Niro. It's not for me. It's for the audience.
Yeah. We can't. I can't talk about a good episode of something right now.
Because we'll end up talking about that instead of this dog shit ending to this episode.
Yeah.
Which, I think, knowing what we know about where the show is going, I think it's supposed to establish, like, a friendlier connection between these two. But...
But it's weird.
Yeah, to me it felt way more like if my drunk coworker showed up to my house and was like, I'm super fucked up, be like, here, take the couch and just don't fucking go anywhere. And that's the, like, whole feeling.
Yeah, but it's like, but they're not like that, though.
No, they're supposed to be, like, getting closer and closer when really it doesn't feel that way or seem that way.
Yeah, like, at all. Like, they're not that close, if I mean, I can say confidently. After watching a bunch of these episodes, like, this is not, yeah, they're not that close. This is weird.
They don't have a, they don't have a connection that's, like, obvious. You know what I mean? It's yeah. Not like, it's not like Russell and, Simone. It's not like Sipowicz and, Costas back in the day. Like, where the more that they spend time together and the chemistry of the actors, you're like, okay, I can see this going somewhere. It does feel a lot like a we're thinking about putting these two together, and like I feel like the audience is kind of giving off a why though. Why are you doing that? It feels weird. But that's what they're doing. Anything else on this episode before we call it quits?
No, I don't have anything.
It is.
I don't like Ricky Schroeder's acting in this episode. I feel like it kind of ruins a lot of the episode, but it is what it is.
It does. It's weird. Like, I went back and forth on some of the scenes. Some of the scenes he's not good, but there were some scenes where I was like, okay, I think they're doing a decent job, kind of playing up his anxiety and his fears. But then there's other scenes, like the 12-year-old shit his pants scene, where it's like, what is that face? Like, that is you made a poo-poo in your pants. That's what that face is, dude. Like, come on.
Yeah.
But, you know, it is what it is. I thought it was a decent, I've said it before, like, a decent bench, like, decent guest stars, where the acting is all right. I think it gets bogged down with, Danny, but it gets bogged down with Laughlin. Where it's like, this dude is just here to remind you how shitty cops can be, I guess.
I don't know. I just feel like I want to wait on my Laughlin commentary.
You don't want to wait on the Ricky Schroeder ones, but the Laughlin commentary.
I don't want to give like too much away, but like, you know, there's going to be some more Laughlin coming up, so.
Yeah. But this
like, I don't want to give it away yet.
It's weird, and I don't know if you'll agree, but it seems like it's an episode that they wanted to focus mostly on Danny and Kirkendall, but Danny gummed up his own works with his acting, and Jill, her works were gummed up by Laughlin. It was supposed to be, like, Jill trying to, like, figure out a really hard situation to deal with, and the hard situation is Laughlin.
Yeah.
And Laughlin's just being an asshole.
everyone has, like, their own little stress in the thing. So that's why it's called Stress for Success, but...
Stress for Success.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know, like, I don't, like, it's trying to, like... This episode is supposed to be carried by Schroeder, and it's just not good.
It is supposed to be, like, his real emotional... Like, those episodes with Simone when, what's his name? The guy from Sex and the City with the glasses and he was bald. Caulfield.
Oh, yeah.
Was it Caulfield?
The guy who lived in his building.
It was Henry.
He got his grandma's building or something like that.
Yeah, it was Henry, right? And that was his name.
Yeah, Caulfield.
It's Henry Caulfield. Like, the episodes where it seems like Henry Caulfield might have murdered somebody or he's, like, deep in it. And you got Simone, like, running around doing dirty work and, like, getting in people's faces. Where it's like, oh, wow, that's how you do that shit. Like, this is just, it's kind of like, oh, he's sad. And... People...
That's the thing. Does he get in anyone's face?
Well, no.
He just barely, like, if anything, like, he doesn't really do any of the work either. Like, fucking most stuff tells him what happens.
He also, the whole episode really is him going, JB died and I'm really sad. And everybody goes, like, he's just a druggie. Like, pull it together. And then he's like, okay, well, you know. I'm still really sad about it, and I'm going to go take care of it on my own. Like, why are you going to be by yourself? Why are you drinking? And he's like, I don't want to talk to you guys.
Sipwitz needs to understand, like, what he's going through. You know what I mean? Like, Sipwitz, if anyone's going to know, it's Sipwitz, so why is he being, like, like a big bitch about it?
Yeah, I don't know. It was a weird one. It was a weird one, it wasn't great.
It was not, like you said, the side actors couldn't carry it. You know what I mean? Like they couldn't carry the whole thing.
No, not when I mean like 60 to 70% of it has to be Sorensen.
Yeah, 100%.
Thank you again for listening to NYPD Blue Balls, assuming that you're listening to this and haven't already clicked away or clicked away earlier in the episode. Hey, man, it's your life. You gotta live it. Once again, if you liked it, please rate and review so hopefully it gets seen in the algorithm, because this is really just a giant ploy to get more people to watch the best show ever, NYPD Blue, which is on Amazon and Hulu. There's a couple of books out there about NYPD Blue. If you got an itch to just know more, there is True Blue, written about the first couple seasons by creators and consultants. There's What Would Sipwitz Do, a collection of articles about the show. And then there's an unofficial guide to NYPD Blue by Gene Kendall on Amazon for 99 cents. We're on Twitter at Asher Bros Pod, and we're on Instagram at Asher Brothers Podcast, mostly letting you know when new episodes of the podcasts are coming out, which is mostly every other Tuesday. If you enjoy my voice and enjoy public domain movies and video games, you can head over to twitch.tv/KirkHasGlasses, where I'm doing tons of random stuff there. Have a good one. Peace.